Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Lord, we revere you, for you forgive our iniquities. We shall hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love and great power to redeem. My soul waits on the Lord, and in the word of the Lord I hope. Let us worship God. Let us pray. You are merciful and just in the deliverance of your people, O God. You draw us up out of the depths of distress. You incline your ear as we call on your name. Our souls rest in you and in the promise of Christ's redeeming love. Lay now your hand upon us and draw us out of your spirit that we may sing praises to your name. Amen. Our scripture lesson is Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14, which will be read by Mr. Jeremy Robinson.
Good morning, y'all.
Yes, you're on.
As said, the scripture lesson for today is Ezekiel 37, verse 1 through 14. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, Son of man, can these bones become living people again? O sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord said, O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. We thank Mr. Robinson for sharing in our... for leading us in the word of the Bible. You may join us now as we sing just one verse of Great is Thy Faithfulness. You can sing to yourself. We ask that you do not unmute your phone. So just sing along with us. Sing to yourself. And this way, you know, if you're not quite on tune, then only you will know. Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my
trusting in the promises. The Harvard Business Review surveyed 1,600 workers to measure levels of loneliness on the job. People who worked in law, engineering, and science reported the highest levels of loneliness. But I bet the Harvard Business Review didn't include any prophets in their survey. Today's scripture lesson focuses on the prophet Ezekiel. You know, being a prophet has to be the number one loneliest job in history, and dangerous too. In fact, if you want to test my theory, then this week try finishing every sentence with the words, "in accordance with prophecy," and see how quickly people get angry with you. If you try to tie God's judgment into what's going on with us now during this time of worldwide fear and nervousness, and if you start running around finishing every sentence with "in accordance with prophecy," you'll likely encounter somebody who wants to punch you. All kidding aside, no one wants to hear hard truths. No one wants to be told that they are sinful and rebellious. Being punished by God or on the wrong side of God's will, that's not what we want to hear. But, you know, that's what the prophets of old did. There's an old story about Moshe, a medieval Jewish astrologer who prophesied that the king's favorite horse would die. Sure enough, the horse died a short time later. The king got angry at Moshe, certain that his prophecy had brought about his horse's death. He summoned Moshe and commanded him, "Prophet, tell me when you will die." Now Moshe realized that the king was planning to kill him immediately, no matter what answer he gave. So he had to answer carefully. He said, "I do not know when I will die. I only know that whenever I die, the king will die 3 days later." Guess what? Moshe lived a long life. You see, prophets have one job, to speak for God. And sometimes God has some uncomfortable things to say to us. Pastor John Redball says, when a person is freezing to death, he feels a pleasant numbness that he doesn't want to end. He just goes to sleep as he's freezing to death. But when heat is applied and the blood begins rushing into the affected area, pain immediately occurs. Though it hurts, the pain is a sign of rescue and cure. God sends a prophet to people who are cold in their relationship with God, spiritually freezing to death and wanting to stay that way. The prophet turns the heat on, and they become angry with him when he is actually working to make them better. So instead of viewing prophets as killjoys, what if we should view them as symbols of hope? Because if God had given up on his people, he wouldn't send a prophet. He wouldn't send anybody. If God sends a prophet, that must mean that there is still hope. Ezekiel faced a difficult task because he was called to prophesy to the Jewish people at one of the lowest points in their history. You see, the small nation of Israel had been under siege and finally conquered by the mighty army of Babylonia. Jerusalem lay in ruins. The temple was destroyed. Ezekiel, along with thousands of other Jews, was forced into exile to the capital city of Babylon, which is today called Iraq. Can you imagine being a refuge, living in poverty in a strange land? Your center of worship has been destroyed. Your community has been scattered. Where is your family? Where are your neighbors? How do you rebuild your life when everything has been taken away from you? Their life was in their worship, in their identity as God's chosen people. Did this mean that God had ended his covenant with the nation of Israel? Had the people lost their very identity as the people of the one true God? God sent Ezekiel to these desperate and broken people to to answer that very question. So Ezekiel 37 tells us that the prophet was in the middle of a valley with many dry bones, and God asked, can these bones live? And Ezekiel responds, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The Lord says to these bones, I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So Ezekiel did what he was told. And tendons and flesh appeared on the bones, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then God said, prophesy to the wind. So Ezekiel did what he was told again, and breath entered those bones. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, Ezekiel said, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, our God is going to open your graves and bring you up from them. God will bring you back. I'll put my spirit in you and you will live. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. So you see, Ezekiel brought a word of hope in a hopeless time. November 2019, the COVID-19 virus, what we know as coronavirus, appeared in China. Today, nearly 5 months later, there are over 400,000 cases worldwide. And it's expected that this virus will continue to infect people in 150 countries for months to come, causing havoc with health, finances, and spirit. This event, next to September 11, 2001, may be the most devastating world event of the 21st century, and it's already being compared to two monumental events of the 20th century. It's being compared to, one, the 1918 Spanish flu epidemic that infected 500 million people around the world, killing about 50 million. And it's being compared to the October 1929 U.S. stock market crash and the following Great Depression that went on to impact the world through the 1930s. The Spanish flu was a three-year epidemic. The Great Depression lasted a good 10 years through the 1930s. The changes and devastation of COVID-19 is still in its infancy. But these kind of devastating events don't just impact our wallets and our health. They severely impact our emotional, our mental, and our spiritual health. In 1665, the bubonic plague swept through the city of London. In his book, A Journal of the Plague Year, Daniel Defoe described the devastation we would have seen if we walked the streets of London back then. People who had the means to escape the city did so. Others barricaded themselves in their houses. More than 1,500 people died each day. Bodies were piled up in open pits because there wasn't enough ground or enough grave diggers to give the dead a proper burial. Defoe writes that men roamed the streets prophesying God's coming destruction on the city. One prophet wandered naked through the streets chanting, oh, the great and dreadful God! Oh, the great and dreadful God! Is that what Ezekiel wanted to say when he stood in the Valley of Dry Bones? Oh, the great and dreadful God! Maybe so. It was a terrible time. Is that what we want to say? Now, Jewish tradition insists on a proper burial for their dead as a way to honor them. So an unburied body like in London or a scattering of dry bones like in the valley is a sign of shame and of disgrace. So it was at this time of devastation when they, the nation of Israel, were like dried and unburied bones. It was a time of fear, heartbreak, and shame for them. And then God asked Ezekiel the strangest question, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Why even ask the question at this point? Why does God try to interject hope in our most hopeless times? When Abraham and Sarah reached their golden years without having children, God promised and delivered to them a son, Isaac. When Queen Esther was a teenage bride in a foreign kingdom, God gave her the courage to stand up to a heartless king and save her people. In hopeless situations, God gives us hope. Let me say that again. In hopeless situations, God keeps giving his people hope. So where is the hope in the Valley of Dry Bones? We find our hope in this. God always keeps his promises. If God tells you that things are going to turn out all right, trust him, for God always keeps his promises. Ezekiel was confronted with a challenging situation, wasn't he? These weren't people with a future. These were dry bones. And God is calling Ezekiel to prophesy to them? As someone who's called to preach God's word, I can tell you it's hard enough to prophesy to living people. You may have a hard time believing this, but there are some hard-headed people in churches sometimes who don't want to listen to a word from the Lord. Why prophesy to dry bones? But you see, the power wasn't in Ezekiel's prophecy. The power was in the promises of God. So Ezekiel begins to prophesy to the dry bones, and God begins to speak through him. And at the sound of God's promises, these dry bones rose up from the valley floor and assembled themselves into a vast army. Not a crowd, not a mob, an army. An army has a purpose. An army has an allegiance. That's why you and I are here today. We are included in God's promises too. We've made it to the fifth Sunday of Lent. As social distancing grows, shelter in place, orders expand, more people get sick, layoffs increase, anxiety heightens, and the end of this public health crisis seems far off. We need to remember, we're moving toward Easter, a sure cause for rejoicing. We may not mark Holy Week or celebrate Easter in our sanctuaries this year, but nothing, do you hear me? Nothing will prevent Jesus' triumph entry into Jerusalem and his living, breathing exit from the tomb. Nothing. In this nerve-wracking season of terrifying 24/7 headlines, we who have been tasked with preaching to dry bones need to proclaim in confidence that God has not, does not, and will not abandon us. While we don't know when we will return to our churches in person, or when we'll get a chance to hug each other, or when we will get back to work in our offices or find grocery stores with fully stocked aisles, while we can not know what the future is going to look like next week, we can be sure that dry bones will become living, breathing human beings. The one who raised Jesus will sustain us even now. So again, this is a Sunday to remember that Easter is coming, and nothing will stop God's power and plan to bring new life out of despair and death. In the meantime, in this in-between time, we must weep with those who weep, mourn the mounting communal losses together, call on Christ for help, and continue to hope and trust that God keeps his promises. God asks, "Mortal, can these bones live?" We may say timidly, "Oh Lord, you know." But then, like Ezekiel, we must prophesy and preach and proclaim the love of our God with every fiber of our being, in word and in deed, through every medium available, until we start to hear rattling and deep, full breath again. Let me just share with you a story, a couple of stories. On January 4th, 2012, Alex Sheen's father died. Most people would describe Alex's father as an average man. But Alex describes him as a man of his word. At his father's funeral, Alex passed out small cards to everyone in attendance. He called them promise cards. At the bottom of each card were the words, "Because I said I would." His father lived by these words. He could always be counted on to keep his promises. So in honor to his father, Alex challenged those in attendance at the funeral to write a promise on their card and to make a steadfast commitment to keep that promise. The people at Mr. Sheen's funeral were so inspired by Alex's promise cards that he began printing more and sending them for free to anyone who requested them. Today, Alex Sheen runs a nonprofit that does character education programming in schools, colleges, and prisons. He teaches about integrity and honor and character, and yes, keeping your promises. And his organization has sent more than 11 million promise cards to people in over 150 countries. Alex also has a website. You know what it's called? BecauseISaidIWould.com. It's where people who have received a promise card can post their stories of the promises they have made and kept. Now, there's a woman named Elizabeth, a 26-year-old nurse who works at an assisted living facility. She eats lunch every day with a particular patient who has dementia. Every day at the end of their lunch, the woman would become afraid that Elizabeth wouldn't come back to visit her. Her dementia made her forget how faithful Elizabeth was to her. So Elizabeth took a promise card and wrote on it, "I promise I will come and have lunch with you tomorrow." And at the bottom of the card were the words, "Because I said I would." The next day when Elizabeth showed up for lunch, she found her friend clutching the promise card. She looked up and smiled and said, "You remember." God will never forget his promises. God will never forget his people. Across every page of the Bible, God writes his promises and signs them with, "Because I said I would." Now, we could also think of this promise in another vernacular. Remember when you were coming up and you were told to do this or that? If you dare to ask why, you know what the answer would be. What was it? "Because I said so." Or in other words, "because I'm in charge." So whether you are using the language of those promise cards or the words of our parents, I believe God will never forget his promises. God will never forget his people. Across every page of the Bible, God writes his promises and signs them with, "because I said I would," or "because I said so." God made promises through Ezekiel to his people who were dead and hopeless and cut off. He gave new life and new hope. And likewise, for us, he will turn death into life. He will turn a valley of dry bones into the army of God. How do we know this? Because he said he would. As we move through this Easter season, remember that God is not done keeping his promises to his people. God is faithful and God's plans are eternal. And make no mistake, we're still in the valley of dry bones. But rest assured, yea, though we walk through the valley of darkness, we need not fear evil, for God is with us. We are called to prophesy and preach the good news until everyone has what they need to stand on their own feet. This season of strangeness and social distancing may not be brief. We're called to live in hope, trusting that because of Easter, death, evil, sin, and suffering never have the last word. We as God's people can base our lives and our hope on the promises of God. Amen. Let us prepare for a word of prayer this morning. On our prayer list, we have the family of Helen Henry. Helen Henry died on Thursday evening, and we would lift up Warren, Janice, and in the entire and Helen's entire family in our prayers this morning. We also continue to keep in our prayers the Appiah family as they continue to grieve Alma's loss. We would place on our prayer list Mary Ann Hendricks. We're keeping you in our prayers, as well as Mary and Greg Whited. Elizabeth Adapo asked that we would also add one of her classmates who has come down with the COVID-19 virus, as well as a friend of hers who is dealing with this season or this need for isolation and quarantine, who's handled it's hit her pretty rough, and she's experiencing fear and anger and anxiety. We would lift her and all people who are struggling right now because of what's going on. I would add to the prayer list one of my colleagues who is in California, the Reverend Dr. Well, I won't give her name. Well, yes, I will. The Reverend Dr. Arlene Gordon. She is 3 weeks after having come down with the coronavirus. She is beginning to recover, but I keep her in my prayers as well, a very close friend of mine. So let's take a moment and just think about those who we would put on our personal prayer list as well as a collective prayer list. Ezekiel prophesied to the dry bones, and lo, they rattled and groaned and stand on their own 2 feet and finally breathe. So history reveals the promises of God. Again, we are on the road toward Easter and the celebration of God's promise as seen through Jesus Christ. So whether we look backward or look forward, the message is always that God gives new life. We live in a time when faith is needed. Now more than ever. So let us pray. O God, you assemble and enliven dry bones strewn amid barren fields. Through the grace of the Holy Spirit sent forth in Christ, our mortal lives are aflame with your presence and redeemed by your love. You hear the voice of our supplications, inclining your ear to our needs. We give you thanks for your indulgence, your kindness, and care. We owe our lives to your righteous salvation in the gift of your Son. We are the people of your compassion, your judgment, and your justice. You are our God, and we give you the praise due your name. Lord, hear our prayer, our collective prayers for those bones that have become brittle and dry. So we pray for the aging, those in our midst whose movements are not so swift as they once were. May the breath of life that you give them be for us an abiding source of inspiration and wisdom. Give to us patience to listen to what they say, and may our presence be to them a comfort as they meet each new day. Hear our prayer for those muscles that lack sinew and are no longer pliable or tight. We pray for those who choose to be inactive and those who are overly cautious when called upon to act. Give to them discipline that will train them in faith. And may we show them boldness tempered with patience and care. Hear our prayer for those whose flesh is different from ours because of pigment and race. We pray for sisters and brothers of all colors who give radiance to Christ's church. And may those who somehow want to blame what's going on particular peoples and particular races. May they be brought into intelligence and wisdom to know that all of us are God's children. Assemble our diverse gifts in a vivid display of our common baptism in Christ. And Lord, set ablaze the unity of our witness. Hear our prayer for those battling with health issues, whether long-term or recent and immediate. Jesus, during his ministry on earth, showed power and caring by healing people of all ages and situations. We ask, O Lord, that you be present now to people who need your loving touch because of COVID-19. May they feel your power of healing through the care of doctors and nurses. Take away the fear, anxiety, and feelings of isolation from people receiving treatment or under quarantine. Protect their families and friends and bring peace to all who love them. Dear Lord, we lift to you our concern for people who are more likely than others to become severely ill. Protect them from harm and be their comfort in this time of uncertainty. And God, as more people get sick, healthcare workers and first responders are working longer hours and fewer supplies with more risk of contracting the new virus themselves, renew their energy and sustain them on long shifts. Oh God, you rob death of its sting. You cause graves to set free from their captives. Hear our prayer for those who mourn. Death leaves us hurt and empty. And when circumstances dictate that we cannot share our pain with others who care or be comforted by them, it makes our grief even more intense. So breathe on us, breath of God. Fill us with life anew, that we may love what you love and do what you do. Hear us as we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For those of you who received our announcement online, you have the words of our closing hymn. Just one verse. This is a wish that we send out to each of you, and hope that you send out to each of your brothers and sisters in Christ, those who are online right now and those who are not. God be with you till we meet again. Going to do a duet on the road from now on. Let us be dismissed. Whatever wilderness the Spirit has brought you to, walk in boldness as a beloved child of God. Walk in peace under the shelter of the Most High. Walk in faith, knowing Christ walks with you. Amen.
Thank you.